This is VOA News. I'm Alexis Strope. Violence continues along the Israel-Lebanon border. AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports.
Lebanon's militant Hezbollah group says its fighters fired anti-tank missiles and artillery shells at an Israeli military convoy in a disputed area along the border, killing an Israeli civilian. Hezbollah adds its fighters ambushed the convoy shortly before midnight on Thursday, destroying two vehicles. The Israeli military has commented the ambush wounded an Israeli citizen doing infrastructure work. He'd later died of his wounds. Low-intensity fighting along the Israel-Lebanon border has repeatedly threatened to boil over as Israel has targeted senior Hezbollah militants in recent months. Tens of thousands of people have been displaced on both sides of the border. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with Chinese President Xi Jinping in Beijing on Friday, and Blinken said Washington is, quote, fully prepared to impose sanctions over China's support for Russia's defense industry. More from VOA's Bill Gallo in Seoul, South Korea.
For Blinken, a main priority is stopping Beijing's support for Russia's war in Ukraine.
In our discussions today, I made clear that if China does not address this problem, we will.
The United States doesn't accuse China of directly supplying weapons to Russia. Instead, U.S. officials say China is sending the items that go into Russian weapons, like microchips and machine tools. Blinken said the U.S. may enact sanctions to stop that cooperation, though analysts say that may be tricky. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul, South Korea.
Flooding and heavy rains in Kenya have killed at least 70 people since mid-March, according to a government spokesperson, twice as many as were reported earlier this week. The East African country has seen weeks of heavy rains and severe flooding in Kenya's capital, Nairobi, as well as in the country's western and central regions. This is VOA News. Mining giant BHP proposed a nearly $39 billion takeover of Anglo American on Thursday, offering a deal which would create the world's biggest copper miner. Reuters correspondent Fiona Jones reports.
Anglo, which owns mines in countries including Chile, South Africa, Brazil, and Australia, said it was reviewing BHP's unsolicited, non-binding, and highly conditional proposal. Under UK takeover rules, BHP has until May the 22nd to make a firm offer. Analyst at Hargreaves Lansdowne, Susanna Streeter.
BHP is particularly interested in Anglo American is because it has some pretty vast copper operations, and copper is seen as crucial in the green transition.
And if agreed, this deal would forge a copper mining group with about 10% of global output.
Fiona Jones from Reuters. Buckingham Palace says King Charles III will resume his public duties next week following treatment for cancer. Friday's announcement comes almost 3 months after Charles took a break from public appearances to focus on his treatment for an undisclosed type of cancer. The palace says Charles will make a public visit to a cancer treatment center on Tuesday, the first of several appearances he will make in coming weeks. One of his first major engagements will be hosting a state visit between the Emperor and Empress of Japan, who will visit the UK in June. The palace didn't provide an update on King's health or his treatment. As South Korean trainee doctors continue a strike against government plans to boost medical student quotas, hospitals in some smaller cities say they desperately need more physicians. Reuters correspondent Diane Tao reports.
South Korea has 2.6 doctors for every 1,000 people. It's one of the lowest rates among developed countries, according to the Global Economic Development Group, the OECD. In contrast, top-ranked Austria has 5.5 for every 1,000 people. The shortage is at the heart of the reform plans to increase medical school admissions by thousands of students starting next year. But the junior doctors, backed by other medical groups, are now entering their third month of protests against the plans, saying the government needs to first address issues of their poor working conditions.
Diane Tao from Reuters. It's been only a day since the Transitional Presidential Council was installed in Haiti, and the list of demands on its members is rapidly growing. Now that the Caribbean nation has new leaders, they're under pressure to produce quick results despite a deep-seated crisis that has been years in the making. More than 2,500 people were killed or injured from January to March alone, and more than 90,000 have fled the capital of Port-au-Prince so far this year amid relentless gang violence. A police union official said on Friday that the council must prioritize security, quote, above everything. For additional stories, visit voanews.com. I'm Alexis Strope, VOA News.